You're listening to the Bearded Theologians podcast, hosted by Zach Bechtold and Matt Franks. If you'd like to learn more about the Bearded Theologians, you can go online at beardedtheologians.com, where we have past podcasts, blogs, and a couple of items for sale. So check us out, beardedtheologians.com. Thank you for listening and enjoy this week's show.
You're listening to the Bearded Theologians podcast, hosted by Matt Franks
and Zach Bechtold.
So this week we're going to talk about something that's near and dear to both Zach and I's hearts, something that is, we believe is extremely important in the life of the church. We're going to talk about the importance of food as a part of the faith community. And so Zach, as you think about that, what comes up for you?
So many things. So many things. I don't know. I think I'm going to work backwards from what we do today in the scripture. No, one of the things that I think COVID really took from us is food, whether that be how we celebrate communion in the ways that we were used to doing intinction and just our comfort ability of passing bread and juice around. And celebrating communion with one another. It also took potlucks and gatherings around the table from us. And I don't know, I'm sure we're probably late to the ball game on this one of getting back to doing potlucks and dinners and meal-like celebrations. But it finally feels okay again. To gather back around the table and eat and not feel like we're putting anybody in harm. And so that's super, super sacred. Meals around the table. That's something that I firmly believe Jesus believed in, was gathering around the table, having a meal together, and being present, talking about life, talking about faith, talking about all of the things that you talk around the dinner table. And you see it throughout the life and ministry of Jesus, whether it's with the disciples, whether it's with, the sinners and least of these. A lot of what Jesus does, and really a lot of what Jesus talks about, is gathering around the table with one another. Whether it's for a meal, whether we gather around a table for a meal, a beer, a coffee, water, whatever, there's something sacred that happens there in being present with one another. But there's also something very intentional that a meal does, and it breaks down walls. It allows the people who gather around the table to be a little more vulnerable with one another. And for me, it helps us ease into being people. And as a pastor, sitting down for a meal or a cup of coffee or a beer with somebody, really, it makes me human really quick for the people who are joining me, because we all have to eat. We all enjoy food. And so we come, you know, we come to the table with a common purpose and a, you know, it's a commonality there that food and drink bring. And I think that's something that Jesus found super sacred and super important throughout his life and ministry. And we can go all the way back into the Hebrew Bible and find examples of the same thing, right? People gathering around food to have hard and difficult conversations, to talk about the future, to, you know, do lots and lots of things. And so that's a nutshell version of why food, other than it just being great, food is important to me personally and in ministry. Matt, what about you?
So, you know, what I always find part of my story, part of my coming to faith story was when I first started coming to church, the one thing I loved about coming to church was I got zebra cakes, which was not something that I got at home. for a lot of reasons, mm-hmm. both my parents were dealing with health issues and I was left to kind of raise my siblings. And literally it was the fact that I knew like every third Sunday I would get zebra cakes. There was other good snacks throughout, you know, every Sunday, because we had a rotation of Sunday school teachers and there were great snacks. However, it was because of those zebra cakes. I always remember it was the zebra cakes that brought me to Jesus more than anything else. It wasn't a sermon. It wasn't songs. It was anything else. It was zebra cakes, because that meant that, you know, they cared for me. They loved me. And I think a good meal does that. And, you know, you and I have both been involved in feeding ministries and have seen how the importance of that is there, whether it's a church potluck on Sunday after worship or a community meal for those that need to eat. There's power in those meals. And so for me, having a meal or having snacks can make the difference. Having good, healthy snacks can make a difference in your discipleship making process. I know that sounds crazy. However, I think it makes sense. It's the way that Jesus kind of modeled things. You know, he met with people and having lunch. I think the same thing could be said about us. Like, how are we providing good snacks for our community or for our faith, you know, whatever it is, Bible study, all those things. I think analyzing that and asking ourselves, are we doing that well, is a good conversation to have.
Yeah. You know, so much of what Jesus does throughout the Gospels, whether, you know, we have a couple of different stories of feeding the 5,000, or a couple of groups of 5,000 or more. One of Jesus's final, you know, commandments to, commandments probably not the right word, but final conversations with the disciples, with Peter is go feed my sheep, right? Go take care of people. And for me, being able to buy somebody lunch or provide food for somebody for whatever reason, whether it's just hospitality or, because somebody needs a meal or just because we're gathering together. I love getting to do that. It's one of my favorite gifts I can offer people. And it's often the only gift I can offer somebody is a meal. And I think there's something super, for me, there's something super significant in that, in just part of what my personal ministry is if I can feed somebody in some form or fashion, it makes me, you know, I feel like I'm doing good in this world. Gosh, when I was a campus pastor, feeding college students was first and foremost at the top of my list of things to do. Let's provide a good home cooked meal for kids that are eating pizza and ramen and Taco Bell until they just doesn't taste like food anymore, right? So let's provide something home cooked and familiar and comforting. And there's just something so important in being able to do that, in whatever way that it takes shape for you.
Yeah, and I think so. My New Testament professor in seminary, that was like his study jam is meals. And, you know, one of the things that I always remember from that class is just how we partake in the meal and what is the liturgy of the meal. You know, and there are certain liturgies of the meal, whether it's a church potluck and you know that there are certain people that go first and certain people that go last. And, you know, those sort of things. There's a rhythm and liturgy to those kind of gatherings, whether you're going out to eat with a group of people. What does that look like? You know, what are the conversations? You know, one of the things that I've gotten to enjoy in the past year in my church is we have a men's group that meets once a month at a restaurant, and it's slowly growing. And it's just been a fun time to get to talk to guys that I wouldn't normally get to on the Sunday morning or even if they come to Bible study. You know, I think that those spaces, crafting those spaces are important. And one of my big things in ministry has been in the last 10 years is to sit at coffee shops and invite people in to have conversations. I was running a little bit late today because of that. I had ran into a church member had come in and just poured their heart out to me and wouldn't have been able to have that otherwise. And there is something special about having that meal, providing that sacredness and vulnerability, because it does provide a sense of vulnerability of eating. I mean, that is a very sacred act. It's a very vulnerable act. When you can do it in a way that provides space for people to have conversations or just being together. You know, we were at a baseball game on Saturday night with our church, and even though it rained most of the game and lightning, and we were forced underneath the awning of things, and it was just still fun to get together and shared, you know, laughs and pretzels and, you know, drinks. It was just a good time. And I think food is one of those things that can unite us and allow us to have a space to where we're just together. And I, you know, if you haven't come back from that because of COVID, I understand. Like, continue to, you know, be prayerful about what that might look like for you all. But I think it's something that we have to do now is really provide those kind of spaces and make them intergenerational. I think far too often we don't provide those spaces to do that. We're looking at doing a game night where we'll have pizza and that will be open for anybody, you know, and so I think it'd just be a fun thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think food is definitely a uniter and it can bring people to faith. I know that's hard to understand, but I'm a living testament that zebra cakes brought me to Jesus. So I'm putting that on a t-shirt, yeah. By the way.
Well, and I like it. No, and that's the thing is food, gathering around food creates space, right? Wherever that may be. And it creates a variety of space where, you know, regardless of the barriers or age gaps or anything like that, it closes some space really, really quickly. And so I'm a big fan. I like to eat. I like to be with people. And so anytime we can put those two things together, I think we're doing the Lord's work there.
Yeah. And I think that that's really kind of a good place to land. Ask yourself, how are you providing food in your faith community? What does that look like? And it can be more than just Sunday morning, by the way. I feel like I have to say that. And I think that's definitely a good place to land and to ask ourselves, how are we providing food, both physical food and spiritual food? Those are good things to reflect on as we enter into the fall season of ministry. Yep. So Zach, do you have anything else?
No, I like it. Go eat something.
Yes, go eat. So for the Bearded Theologians, I'm Matt Franks.
I'm Zach Bechtold. Thanks for checking us out.
Guys, I want you to subscribe and like this video. And push that thumbs up.
Thank you for listening to the Bearded Theologians podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share on all social media outlets. You can check out old episodes and more information at beardedtheologians.com. Thanks for checking us out.